this morning. Amen. So God bless you. We'll let the musicians go ahead and take their seats. It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord this morning. So just remember the prayer request. Remember Sister Vicky. And the Lord continue to give her strength and get her back on her feet. And also Sister Hannah. I know what that is to have your hand in the door, and so does my wife. So that is very painful. But we know God's a healer, and so we're going to trust that He's going to make that recover really quickly. Also, just ask that you continue to pray for the trustees here in the church of the things that we're working on, that the Lord would just help us. And you know, you're not always dealing with Christian people out there when you're having to deal with construction projects and things like that. And so, you know, we just want to do everything as upright as possible ourselves and have as good a testimony as possible as we can. And so we know that that'll only happen if we just let the Lord guide us. And so just pray that the Lord will help us in our decision making and let everything go through smoothly. How many believes that that's what we need to do? Just give it to Him. So that's certainly what we want to do. And, you know, we'll thank Him for all the help that He gives us. I would like to meet with the musicians and the sound man this morning at the end of service. So we'll finish service, stop the streaming, and then we'll kind of gather just for a few minutes. I'm going to share a few things with you. And if that's okay, everybody has time to stay around. Amen. So let's open our Bibles. We want to get into the scriptures this morning. As we've heard so many times, it is our words fail, but when we read the Word of God, the Word of God cannot fail. And so we're just going to get into the scriptures and let the Holy Spirit lead us this morning in the direction that I feel like He'd have us go this morning. So we're reading in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Always like to hear the pages turning in your Bible. It means that you brought your Bible with you. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's just bow our hearts to Him just for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to You this morning, we're not coming to You this morning by tradition, Lord, and just by some action that we repeat each week on Sunday morning, but we're coming, Lord, because we know that You are the author of life and You are the giver of every good gift. And we confess this morning, Lord, that we need You in every way, in every way possible. We need You in our lives. And so we gather this morning around Your Word and ask God that You would come in Your great Holy Spirit, that You'd speak to us. You'd speak to every heart. Do that which a man cannot do this morning, Lord, and speak to every person here, both in divine presence and those that be tuning in other ways. We ask God that You would just speak to every heart and help us this morning, that Your program would be furthered in this little assembly. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can be seated. God bless you. We love the Lord this morning. So I want to speak this morning on how to make sure that you go in the rapture. And when I say that, I mean body change, but the rapture is a process we'll talk about this morning. So we read here the scriptures. The scriptures we read is a specific message that God sent to the church to this last age, to the age that you and I are in. He specifically sent that. It was, the New Testament is broke up into seven ages, seven church ages. We're all familiar with that. And so the last of the ages, that would be the one that would be at the last of the day, as it were, it would be of evening time. It would be an evening time message because it would be the last of the day. And so we read here, and this was a message to the Laodicean age. And I will remind you what the prophet of God told us when he talked about in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation 5, when the cry went forth, who is worthy to open this book? And no one was found worthy in heaven or in earth to open the book. So then the said, weep not, John, for the line of the tribe of Judah. And here comes the Lamb. And so Brother Branham tells us that that was the most sublime thing in Scripture there, that this cry went out, that all of humanity was going to be lost if somebody couldn't take that book and open it. And so this was the line of the tribe of Judah. But when John turned to look, what he could see there was a lamb that had been slain. It was a bloody lamb. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ who had been slain on Calvary. And so nobody was found worthy in heaven or in earth or beneath the earth. But yet this lamb came forward and he was able to do it. Now, if he hadn't been able to do it, where would we be? And so it was the most sublime thing, most wonderful, that you couldn't even find words to describe the Lord Jesus Christ being able to come forth and take that book and redeem you and I, or else we'd be lost. But right next to that, those scriptures there, is this Laodicean. And this is what's so sublime about it, because when he came 2,000 years ago to pay the price for his church, for his bride, and he's going to come again to get her. And during that course of time, the church has fallen away. As we read in the scriptures, Babylon has fallen, because God calls this fallen church age system, he calls it Babylon. Right, calls it Babylon, calls it the whore church, and calls it daughters. The Protestants who follow after the Catholic Church, he calls them daughters. Right. And they're all harlots, see? And so, and there's a call at the end time to come out of her. But this church had went from 2,000 years ago and had fallen away to the place that Jesus Christ was on the outside of the church door knocking, trying to get back into the very church that he bought. Yeah, right. Now that's the total contrast. He said that was the most pathetic thing in scriptures. It is. Could you imagine a church that the Lord Jesus Christ had purchased?
Right.
And yet here we find that he's not even in the church. Now listen, I'm not saying this. The Bible says this.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us this is the last stage just before he comes. And the Bible tells us that in his eyes, what he looks and he sees, he says, I'm not even in your church. I'm not even in there. I'm having to knock and ask you, can I get back into the church that I purchased, that I bought? Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying there. And so there was the most pathetic thing in scriptures. And then right alongside of that, here comes the Lord Jesus Christ in the most sublime scripture to redeem back his people. And so this is the age that we're talking about here, being able to be raptured. How could we be raptured in this Laodicean age when it has fallen, has become such that even God would consider it what we just read there and what he describes? And so let's just kind of break it down here. We're going to go through these scriptures. And so remember, this is a message specifically to this age. And that means you and I too, okay? That means us, because we do believe we live in a bride age, but you're only in a bride age, and that bride age is going on at the same time Laodicea is, but you're only in the bride age when you've been raptured out of the condition of this church that I'm talking about here into a bride movement. Right, because he's coming for the bride. It's coming to take her to marriage supper. So, here in the scriptures, he said, "I know thy works," and this is something that people need to remember. And I'm going to preach this not just to this congregation, but to the whole world, and maybe the whole world will listen to it somehow. But you know, he said, "I know thy works," and people need to remember that he knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows what you'd spend your time doing. He knows what you spend your time thinking about. He knows everything about you, and he knows if you're playing.
That's right.
He knows if you're on fire for him, and he knows if you're a sinner and doing secret sins, and he knows if you're somewhere in the middle of cold lukewarm. He knows you. You're not hiding it from nobody. You can hide it from mommy, from daddy, from pastor, but you ain't hiding it from him, and he knows it. He sees it, and he's addressing you in this condition. He knows who you are.
Amen.
Amen? So he says, I know thy works, that thou art lukewarm. I know that you're religious. I know that you're not just out here just a sinner in the world just to, doing the worst it could be, but you're definitely not on fire for me. And he said, I'd rather. Now, this seems strange, right? You and I might not would say this. I would probably say, well, if you can't be truly on fire, I guess it's better if you just kind of, you know, rather than to just be a sinner off out in the world. But God didn't say that. God did not say that. He said, I would rather you be on fire or you be cold than to be lukewarm. Because lukewarm is the problem of this age. It's a perversion of the gospel. It is people claiming to be Christians, but they don't live the life, and the vindication's not there. And so the drawing power to Calvary's not there. They can draw people to a creed. They can draw people to some sort of system, some sort of a supper in the church, or some shindig they're going to have in the church. You can draw people to that, and you can draw them to fancy music and nice concerts. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, he's on the outside, and there's no drawing power. And so he said, I would rather you be hot or cold than to be lukewarm.
That's right.
Makes sense, right? Because the sinner's not tricking nobody, and the person that's on fire for God, he's leading people to Christ. But you got this bunch in the middle, and it's the whole age, and he said, "You, this is what you are. You're not just total reprobate off out here, not like sinners or whatever, but you're lukewarm, and I'd rather you be hot or cold than to be lukewarm." So he knows. You're not hiding nothing from anybody.
That's right.
You're not hiding one thing. And so he says, I know that thou works that thou art lukewarm. And he said, now, your self-diagnosis is, you say, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. And that's what the church world would tell you. That's what people, well, I'm a good person. There's nothing wrong with me. You know what? I need Christ. I need a Savior. I need a daily cleansing. I'll admit that to you, see, because we do. And every person that knows Jesus Christ in reality knows that you've got to die daily that he might live through you. And you need and depend on him every day.
Yep.
And that's exactly the truth.
Amen.
But he said, because you, now he's addressing the church. Hey, I know your works and I know you're lukewarm. And you say, you diagnose yourself as saying to yourself, hey, I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. Everything's fine here. But he said, it's not.
Right, right.
He said, you knowest not. You don't know that you're wretched and you're miserable, poor, blind, and naked.
Right.
Amen? So that's what he tells us there. Thou sayest. But what does he say? You can read right here in this scripture, these scriptures we read, and you know what he's saying. He's telling you right here. You say that you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but he says you don't know that you're blind and you're wretched, miserable, poor, and naked. And so, you know, if a person, we've said this before, a guy I used to work with said this one time, and I thought it was pretty good to go with it. He said, if a person's deceived, do they know it?
No.
And think about it. So he said here, you don't know. You have your fine churches. You have such a standing that in your way of thinking, you think you're rich. You think you've got a great system. You think that you stand before God fully dressed in righteousness. You think that you could see the plan of God clearly. And he says, you don't even know that none of that stuff is true. That you are blind. You're naked. He said, you are miserable and you don't even know that you're miserable.
Right.
If you were born in this age, like if his sister right here with her hand hurting right now, okay, I guess it's hurting. If she was born with that hand hurting, and she lived for 20, 30 years with that hand hurting, and you'd come up and tell her, you're in misery. She'd say, what are you talking about? Because that's all she's ever known. She would think that would be normal, see? And so this is a key to us here. You know not. Why? Why don't they know? Why don't they know that they're blind and miserable, poor, wretched, and naked? Why don't they know? And I'll tell you why. Because Babylon has fallen. And Babylon is the church system, and not just the whore church and the daughters, not just the church system, but all the kings of the earth who have committed fornication. The whole thing has fallen. So your church is not telling you the truth. Your governments aren't telling you the truth. Your schools aren't telling you the truth. Your colleges aren't telling you the truth. Your neighbors aren't telling you the truth. And therefore, you don't know because you've been born in an age that is Babylon fallen.
Right.
And that's why you don't know. See? Now, we also know that deep down inside, everybody who's resisting and walking away from the Word of God is like a little boy walking through the graveyard whistling. We know that down inside people know when they're not right with God. They just hush it over and cover it over with some man-made creed or some activity or some social thing that they can get involved in. And it just silences that thing down inside that tells them, hey, there's something wrong, boy. You better get right with God.
That's right.
That's exactly the truth. And so he tells us that you know not that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And the reason why they don't is because this is what we're born in. So when I said how to make sure we're going to be raptured in this age, well, how's this going to happen? If we're born in all this is the condition, how on earth could we ever come to a place, rise to a place where God looks at us and says, you are on fire for God. You can see. You are clothed in righteousness. How do you ever get to that spot? It's not when you turn to the world because they've done failed. You can't turn to Babylon because they've failed. Right? So you got to turn to something else. You got to go somewhere else to get this help that you need. And this is what he's telling us to this age. You need help. He rebuked them because of it. Tells us, he says, and we know that if you love somebody, you're going to correct them. You know, the young people, you're thinking, well, mom and dads, they get on to me all the time. Well, it's because they love you.
That's right.
That's exactly why they do it. They want to see you turn out right and good and prosperous and be able to have a healthy, happy life and not with a bunch of sorrow. And so the scriptures tell us, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Mm-hmm. Right? When David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. How many times have you ever heard a child say, and have you ever said, oh, that razor strap my grandma and grandpa used on me, that was such a comfort. It wasn't a comfort back then. But you can look back on it now and say, you know what, I needed more of it.
Yep.
Right? And so David said, thy rod and thy staff. Why? Because as many as he loves, he chastens, he rebukes. In other words, he doesn't just let you just drift off and do whatever. He corrects you because he loves you and he wants a good outcome for you. That's why he does it.
Right.
Amen. And that's why a real good parent, that's what they do. Doesn't your parents want to make a bad day for you? It's they love you and they want things to turn out good for you.
Right.
For you to make the right decisions. And so this is what we're born in. So how could we ever be raptured out of it? Well, because you need somebody to help you. And so he tells us right here how we can be. He tells us what right here in the scriptures. Because we're in this condition and think everything's fine. But he says, now, here's how. Here's how in this age, when this pathetic, most pathetic scriptural age there is in scripture, where Christ himself is not even in the church. And I want to dwell on this just for a moment. If Christ is not inside the church, then what are all these churches doing?
Right.
With their fine programs and all their stuff that they do, and they have these big centers where they all build these big places where people can come in and their kids can play pinball machine and do all these things just like they do in the world.
Right.
If all that isn't Christ, so what are they doing? Mm-hmm. See? Because he said, I'm not even in there. And you'd say, well, they read the Bible, they preach the gospel, but he's not in there. Because you can have the Rhema word and you can have the Logos word. And the Logos is the word with the thought, the understanding, the intent.
Right.
And that's the problem. We want to have not just the letter of the word which killeth, but we want to have the life of the spirit of truth behind the word That's what we want to know. We want to know him, the person of Jesus Christ, the life behind the word. Because you can take any man, a sinner can read this.
Right, come on.
But he can't make it come alive. He can't live it. See? And so when Jesus said he's on the outside, they got all kinds of things going on out there. But he said he's not in there. And it would behoove us to look at this and say, what about us? Is Christ in us? What are we? Are we in a situation where we're doing the same thing as the rest of the world, and we're going along, and we've convinced ourselves that we are that we're not blind, and we're not miserable, and we're not poor, that we're rich and increased with goods, and we haven't even nothing? Have we done this? See, and every Christian that's a real Christian will constantly, there's something inside him that constantly checks up and wants to know, am I pleasing to the Lord? Amen. That's the truth. So, he tells us here, here's what you need. You know, the Lord is not someone to condemn and just leave you. If he's going to correct you, he's going to tell you how to get out of your situation.
Yeah.
And so he says here, I counsel thee. You know what a counselor is? I think somebody recently I heard talking about that. A counselor. Counselors in school. This young man here probably knows about that. A counselor in college. To help you schedule all your classes and to help you get through and graduate on time and have everything in order so that you can graduate. This is what he's doing here. I counsel thee. You know, but I could ask the students, you know, you have a counselor, but does that counselor force you to do that? No, he's counseling you. He's telling you, if you'll take my guidance and you do what I tell you, then you can graduate on time. You'll come out just right.
Yeah.
But you don't have to. You do not have to go by what he says. You can try and do it some other way. And I can tell you, if you do it some other way, it's not going to work so good for you. Because that counselor knows that's what he's there for.
Yeah.
And so here it is. He says, he's diagnosed it and he said, here's the situation to the age. And so he tells us what it is, and he says, now here's what you need. I counsel thee. I'm giving you instructions on how to fix this situation,
right.
But the choice is yours what you do with this counsel or not.
That's right.
Right? Now he's not just some man talking.
Mm-hmm.
Not just some man that rise up and say, look at me, okay? But this is God we're talking about. God has sent this message. God has said, this is my instruction to you. This is my assessment of this church world, this modern day church world. And this is what I'm telling you that you need to do to come out of this condition so that you can be accepted the way you should be. Because, you know, from this we understand God does want you to be rich. He does want you to be clothed. He does want you to stand in righteousness. And he does want you to be able to see.
Amen.
Right? He does. Or he wouldn't say it the way he said it. So he says, here's my counsel. Here's my counsel to you how that you can be saved and out of this condition. But it's your choice. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And you know, one scripture cannot contradict another. And if you don't get in the right spirit of the author, then you can look at scriptures and you think that they're contrary, and they're not. Right? They are not. You're just not looking at it through the eyes of the author. And once you catch his mind and know what he's thinking, then it all makes sense. And so people would tell you, well, you know, salvation is free. It is, right? You don't buy your way into heaven. You don't buy your way into anything. And yet here he says, I counsel thee to buy of me,
yeah.
Right? And I know I've said this many times before, but when you buy something, you have to take something that you hold valuable and you have to give that to someone in order to receive something else of value.
That's right.
Right? Now, if salvation is free, but you'll never get salvation, you'll never get this that we're talking about this morning until you're willing to give up the things that make you in the condition he just described. There is something you have to give up. You have to give up. And so this modern world, they lack their rich so-called churches. They lack their programs. They lack all this stuff. And he's saying, if you want to be a partaker of holiness, if you want to be a partaker of this, You've got to be able to give that stuff up. And so he actually says, buy it. So he wants you to take to him and come to him and say, Lord, here I am. All this man-made system that has influenced me and all this, I'm just laying it there at your feet that you might have your way in me and that you come and live in me. And so he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. And we know in the Bible, gold represents deity, right? It's God. Gold and silver, silver redemption. Because precious metals like that gold, when you put it to fire, when you put a test to it and try to it, it only purifies it. Right? That's all it does. You can't ruin it. It just purifies it. Okay?
Right.
Same with the silver, it purifies it. So he says, I don't want you to just buy gold, but I want you to buy gold that's been tried in the fire. I want you to sink your teeth into something that's been tested and tried and it's true and it's made it through every storm and nothing's been able to defeat it.
Right.
Right? He's not asking you to put confidence in a man or a preacher or a system or a government or what. He's not asking you to put confidence in something that fails. Mm-hmm. He's asking you to put your confidence in something that has never failed and never will fail. That's what he's asking you to do. So he's saying, give up your world system. Give up all this stuff that he has shown in his word is condemned. Give all that up and come to him and receive of him the gold that's been tried in fire, that has lasted through the ages, has braved every storm and never failed one time.
That's right.
Right? In order for you to do that, you got to go beyond the man standing here talking to you. You got to go beyond me, beyond Brother Daniel. You got to go right on into the word that's being spoken that comes from Almighty God. That's what you got to have confidence in. And if you stop short looking at a man, stop short of a denomination system or something like that, and you don't go all the way to thus saith the Lord, then you have not got to that goal that's been tried by fire. Amen? That's what he wants. He wants you to get to the goal that's been tried by fire.
Amen.
I counsel thee to buy of me this gold that's been tried in fire. Very valuable. And white raiment, that your nakedness not appear. God doesn't want you to stand there. And you know, religion means covering. And without being covered, you're naked before God. Your sins are right there. And you know what that means. If your sins are there and you go before him, you're in trouble. Because you can't do that. See? That's judgment. But so there is a way for your sins, your nakedness to be covered. And it's not man's righteousness. It's not man's church. It's not man's system or government system. See? But it is a garment that is provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is white raiment, white representing righteousness.
Right.
He provides it, right? And so he says, I counsel you buy me gold and white raiment. So you got to go to him. There are what is considered to be righteousness in some other way, but it's filthy rags to him. The only righteousness that will work with God is that which he has provided.
Right.
And he's saying, you've got to give up your system to be part of this, to receive this righteousness that comes from me, so that you can stand before him and not be naked. And he says, I counsel thee to anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may be able to see. Because a person that can't see is walking around in darkness, stumbling, they don't know where they're going, they're going to fall off a cliff or run out from a car or something like that. So he says, I counsel thee to buy of me these things. Now, buy these things, right? Purchase them. I counsel thee to do this. Would he ask us, would he say, this is the solution, I counsel thee to buy, would he do this if those things were not available?
No.
So you know that even in this wicked generation and everything the way it is, even while all that, he has come and he has shown us, it's been well vindicated, well put out there for the whole world to see that there is white raiment. There is gold that's been tried by the fire. There is eye salve. There is a message that we can put upon our lives that will change our condition. He has has counseled us to do this, and that is because it is present.
Right.
It is present for us to have.
Amen.
Look at his attributes there. When we read that scripture, he says, there when we first read it, there verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith, who's saying it? Right? The message is coming from this one. And this is who it's from, and it's to the church. Saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So this is the one who's saying it, the Amen. Now keep in mind, he is here in this day. I just told you that he has made this white raiment and this gold and eye salve. He's made it present. It's here. It's for us to see. And it's there for you to come and get if you want it. You just got to purchase it. Right?
Right.
Well, here's how it came. Because he has manifested in this day a message that shows that he is the Amen. You know what Amen means? So be it. Final word. This is the last age. There's not coming another message to the Gentile people. This is the last stage, the last message, because he's here to get his bride, right? Once he takes her, it's done with the Gentiles. So this is the last stage, and he has come, and this manifestation is the Amen. This is the final word, and this is the thing the Gentile world will be judged by, because God has manifested something in this day that they cannot deny. It's happened, though it was rejected just like he was then. He has appeared again this day in a ministry and in an end time message that is these things I'm talking about. So it has appeared to show you that he is the Amen. He's the final word. This is what you're going to get and nothing else. You're not going to go anywhere unless this is what you receive. See, this is how you're going to get it. It's the Amen. Nobody's going to come along and say, oh, but there's something else. Because
right.
This is it. He said that. He said it.
Yeah, right?
His attributes. So Christ is appearing to all these ages. And to this last stage, he said, here's the attributes that John recognized there in this Laodicean discourse. The Amen.
Right.
But he was also showing himself today in this end time ministry and time movement. He was showing himself as the faithful and true witness. The faithful and true witness. Faithful is to do what you said you do, right? To be a true witness. Not a false witness,
right?
But a true witness. God wants you to be a true witness. He doesn't want you to be a false witness. He wants you to be a true witness, and he himself appears in this day in an end time movement that shows that he is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Amen, the final word. He is a faithful and true witness. He's coming here to do what he said he was going to do. He said he would come at the end time. He said there would be a coming of a Son of Man prophet.
Right.
He said that would happen. He said these things would come. He said he would come and open the seven sealed book. He would do these things, and he came, and he's showing that he's doing exactly what he said. And here's in all this generation where Christ was really just a historical God, or historical Christ, and he has come in the midst of a generation where he was on the outside, and he has appeared and made Jesus Christ alive on the platform once again, alive to his people once again,
yep.
Showing that he's the faithful and true witness.
Right.
He's here now doing that, unleashing the power of his word to his people. He's a faithful and true witness and the beginning of the creation of God. Now that speaks to me, that speaks of an understanding of the Godhead. And I'm not going to get into that, but he speaks that. And so when you go back and you realize, what was the beginning of the creation of God? What was it? Right? Because we know God is eternal.
Right?
We know he's eternal, never dies, he's always been, always will be, right? But the scripture said there was a beginning to the creation of God.
Yeah.
And the scriptures tell us that everything was made by the word of God, the spoken word of God, the Logos. So everything, so before anything was created, the first thing that happened was the word.
Right. Yeah.
So you know that you go all the way back that when God, who's infinite in all his wisdom, when he spoke his logos, that was the beginning. And when that come forth, that word come forth, that's the beginning of the creation of God, and it went from there.
That's right.
Using that word, creating everything else. So now he comes in this last day. He's coming in this last day, not with some of the other attributes of Christ, which we know he has all those, but he shows up in this day, showing himself that he is the beginning of the creation of God. So you're not dealing with somebody else. He didn't pass it on to someone else or, you know, Ali had said, you'll see that the one that started is the one who's appeared in this day today, and he is the beginning of the creation of God.
That's right.
Amen. So that's his attributes. Brother, sister, if we want help, if we want to be able to be raptured, I'd say this character right here we're talking about that has shown up and has counseled us and given us counsel, I'd say that's the fellow that we need to follow. That's the guy that we need to be connected to. But as always, and make no mistake, I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming in our day, the way he said he would come to provide these things for us. But look at the way it's rejected. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. So you'll have it there. God has done such great things, did such great things in Moses, such great things all through, and yet people murmur and people, you know, find fault. And this generation's really bad like that. Do a lot of things and then they find fault.
That's right.
He manifests truth, and yet here's what happens. And this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And there you have it. So he comes and does exactly what he said he was going to do in Scriptures. Made Jesus Christ alive. Made this Bible come alive and become a new book to you and I. Right?
Right.
And yet the world finds fault with it just like they did him. You know what? I don't find fault in this message. I do not find fault in Jesus Christ who lied before me today in the revealing of his word. I find no fault in him. But yet they find fault. And the reason why they find fault is because they're preloaded with a lens or with a filter. And that's, you see this with people. You see it in politics. You see it everywhere you look. People, they have a certain look on things. And when they analyze something that's happened, they walk away with an interpretation that fits the filter they've already got in them.
Yeah.
Rarely do you see people change. Rather do you see people that are like that. They'll look at this and they'll go right with their and say, yeah, that's what I seen. And it wasn't that at all. See? And so this is it. Because they're evil, when they come to this light, they reject it. Because in order for them to accept it, it had to be a reproof to them.
Right.
It had to show that they were wrong and their life was wrong. And man just don't like to do that. He just doesn't like to admit he's wrong. And so he showed right there, this is it. That light comes in the world and that light shines upon darkness. And anybody is of light will accept it. And anybody that's in righteousness will accept that light. If you're doing things that are right and they should put the spotlight on you, hey, you stand right there because you know you're doing what's right. But you know that if you're doing something wicked and the light shine on you, you try to put the light up because you don't want to show them what you are.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's what's happened. God has come in this day, done exactly what he said he was going to do, and people reject it. And the reason why they reject it is because there's evil resonant right there that they're not willing to give up. Because it's a reproof to them. They put their confidence in this, and they put their confidence in that, and in church system and world system, they got their confidence. Hey, I got my riding club. We're all motorcycle riders. We're motorcycles for Christ. And that's the way we go, or whatever it is your society is. See, try to take Christ and mingle him with worldlyism and say, look, we got Christ. Bunch of fallen system. God don't need some man-made something to prop him up. He doesn't. He's holy and pure, and he doesn't need us to try and exaggerate anything and mix him with something else to make it better. It's the Word, and that's it. That's all we need. Right? That Word revealed to us. That's all we need. So that's why they reject it, because there's something there that shows that they're evil. If they're really of God, if they're really down inside, something inside there to receive that Word, it'll bypass, it'll eventually overcome that teaching and thinking in their head. It'll eventually get through there and get to their heart, and they'll be converted. So it's a reproof to them. But I want to show you something. Let's go to John chapter 16, verse 7 through 11. And this is really interesting. Now you realize when Christ left here, he said, I'm going to come back to you. I will come to you. I'll not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you, he said, because he is the comforter. And the comforter is the Holy Ghost. So he and the Holy Ghost, he in spirit form coming back, that's the Holy Ghost. Christ in spirit form, okay? That's why you need to know the Godhead, to realize it's not three gods. It's one God manifested in three offices. He had to be here as a man, but when he left here, he said, I'm going to come back. And when I come back to you, I'm going to manifest the eternal spirit that I am that's in me doing the works right now. My Father in me, will come and manifest that to you. And that is going to come in the form of the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. They're all the same. Scriptures very clearly bear that out. Okay, so this is talking about the Holy Ghost. He said, nevertheless, I tell you, you know, his disciples were sad because he said, I'm having to go away. They were sad. And oh, don't be sad. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is. Now here he is in man form, the Spirit of God manifested in a flesh body named Jesus Christ. And until that Spirit can live in you and I, it don't do much for us. So he has to leave so he can come back in the form of the Holy Ghost, right? That's why he says these things that he does, that I will come to you. The Comforter, the Holy Ghost. I will not leave you comfortless. So he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient that I, Jesus Christ, in human form that's got the Spirit of God in me, it's important that I go away so that it can return again. That's what he's telling you. So I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now Jesus is standing here saying, I've got to go away. I have to be, you know, he had to be crucified, and I've got to go away, but I'll come back and you'll see me because I'll be with you. I'll be even in you. That's what he said. And so here he says, I've got to go away so I can send that back to you. And when this Spirit comes, when this Comforter, this Holy Ghost, this Spirit of Truth, when it's me living in you, when I come back and I'm in you, the acts that I perform through you and all the rest of the church world until I come back to get my bride, that acts of the Holy Ghost is going to reprove this world. Yeah. They ain't going to like it, but it's going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Yeah. Of sin, because I am the one, and yet they believe not on me. Delegates of heaven, the scriptures is very clear that delegates from heaven believe the Word. They recognize it. They recognize the Word. And it wasn't because they were learning great books like the Pharisees and Sadducees, because if that's what it was, they would have accepted him first. It's not book learning. It's not your society. It's something else. It's something, a deposit that's down inside you that makes you believe. And the guy sitting next to you hears the same sermon. He doesn't believe. But something inside you makes you believe. And so he says, this Holy Ghost will come and he'll reprove the world of sin because they don't believe on me. I am the Word. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. This gospel plan was not designed in such a way that we would be the manifestation of it directly ourselves. The gospel plan is that Christ was the one. He was the manifestation, and then he would come into us, and then we would be the manifestation.
That's right.
See what I mean? And so he said, you search the Scriptures, in them you think that you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. I'm the one that God sent, and you don't believe it. You're not connecting to this. See? And so what he's saying there is, so when this Holy Ghost comes and the gospel is beginning to be preached and goes out, it's going to be a reproof to this world because the world has this idea and they think about that and they think this is truth and they think that's truth and all that's a bunch of nonsense. And I come along and I am the way, the truth, and the life, and they don't believe it. So they're reproved because they want to believe every other system, every other way, every other thing but him. So there's a reproof there, right? So they're reproved of sin. And he said, of righteousness, because I go to my Father. And I'll say it this way. So people, you want to live and you want to believe in your man and your preacher, and you want to believe in your denomination or your great man that's in the White House or something like that, and that's not a slang against him. But you want to believe in all this stuff, and you want to believe in all those things, but I ask you, has any of them ascended back up to God? Did God show his mark of acceptance on any of their lives to such a degree that they could lay their life down and pick it up again and ascend to the position of the Father? Not a one of them. And you want to put your confidence in them? You see what I'm saying? This Holy Ghost comes, he'll reprove this world of sin and of righteousness. He will tell you, and that's what he's doing right now. He'll tell you, you better not be trusting in some system. You go right to the only one who ascended back up to God that had that kind of seal of acceptance upon him. He showed this world that Jesus Christ was the one. He showed this world and is showing this world that it's only found in him. He's the only one accepted of God. And if we want to be accepted, we better get his Spirit in us. If we want to be accepted. There's your righteousness. Right? There's your clothing yourself with white. Yeah, white clothing. And so they'll be reproved of sin and righteousness. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I'll ask it again, and I'll ask it in a different way. Which one of your systems that you believe in, which one of your gangs that you go out and this is what you are, and you call yourself whatever, and Christian enemy and all this stuff, which one of those systems that when it acted out, it defeated the devil? Not a one of them. Not one defeated the devil, but this one did. So when the Holy Ghost comes, he's going to reprove the world and he's going to tell them just exactly what I'm saying. Your system is dead because it defeats nothing. Can't even live in overcoming power in this age, overcoming of just the things that are out there like it is. Right? Didn't overcome anything, but this life did. Jesus Christ. And so that's why it is a reproof. It reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And we know that to be true. But the prophet tells us, in all this manifestation that come, and doors and door, he says, when you are a Christian, you'll cope with the Word. I don't care what anybody else says. You don't have to work up nothing, bring down nothing, pump up. You're a Christian. And you just automatically bear the fruit of the Spirit, see? And that's the way it is, see? But people today, they don't want you fooling with their private life. You know, the doors, inside door, and people say, come on in, Jesus, come into my house. You can sit here in the living room, you can sit in the kitchen, you know, but don't you go open that closet over there. The people will come to Jesus, say, oh, I'm a Christian, but don't you preach about a certain thing in my life.
Right.
And I ask you, and I'm asking this to this congregation, do you want to limit the ministry behind this pulpit? Do you want to limit them and tell them, don't you touch that? And if you do, do you see the position you're putting your ministry in? Accountable to God to tell you the truth. And then you would say, I don't touch that. But I'm going to tell you something. Good God called ministry in this day, underneath this message, have authority to echo out this word. We do. We have the authority to echo out this word, to dig in the tater patch, as we say.
That's right.
Jesus said, if I did not do the works that no other man had done, well, then their sin would remain. It wouldn't be no big deal, right? But because I have, now they're guilty. In other words, this whole thing that I'm showing you, none of these systems out here have this vindication. But there is one who does. And because that one has God's vindication on it, that things happen and transpired in that ministry in such a way that only God could do it. Only God could do it. Now that means that there's something present there that everybody else has to look to and say, that's what we're judged by. Because God didn't put his vindication on four or five different messages. He put his vindication on one message. Right? Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. And it was expressed through an end time ministry. And that is what this is the final word, the final age. That's what they're judged to. So God put all of his vindication on that. And so then that has done things in our day that nobody else did. And since that's the case, if we try to trust in anything else, then our sin remains. But if we look to that and let that work on us, you see, then there's your path to righteousness. There's so many thousands of ways that you can show this in Scripture, the same thing I'm talking about. But Jesus did things that nobody else had done. Look at Moses in his day. Moses, come along, and no, there was no man like Moses in the ministry of what he had. God vindicated him so that when it come time for that Passover lamb and that death angel to come through the land. He had been vindicated, and you could just hear him say that when he spoke flies, there was flies. When he spoke blood, there was blood. When he spoke fleas, there was fleas. When he spoke hail, there was hail. And every time, and then I could hear the message. You know what? The prophet told us now. He said, we've got to go slay this lamb and put the blood in. And somebody's like, what? And they could say, my brother, he's never been wrong. It's thus saith the Lord. He's never been wrong. God's not going to raise up somebody that they prophesy and it just don't come to pass and then tell you, you better listen to them and put your life on the line like Passover night. Listening to some. No, he vindicated it.
Right.
So then people knew he had thus saith the Lord. And so now they know how to commit their life. Because you know, for them to be associated with Moses in the presence of that great system of the king of Egypt, they were in jeopardy if God wasn't with them. But God vindicated to them, here is a ministry that you can associate yourself with, and you don't have to doubt whether you'll be raptured. You don't have to doubt whether that he's going to let you go or not, because the word of the Lord through this prophet has told us this is the last plague, and he will let you go this time. You see what I mean? God's not haphazardly just piddling around. He's given you, thus saith the Lord, very clearly. And that's what we've got to go with. You look at Joshua. And Joshua's coming through, and Joshua is the destroying angel. Right? He's got a job to do. He's commissioned of God to go forth and do the things. And yet, with all the vindication of Moses, and then God coming down and showing that he's with Joshua as he was with Moses, and while all that's going on, you had people murmur against Moses and all that, and now here it is with Joshua, and they murmur against him. You got the Achan in the camp. Something out there causing troubles for Joshua in the ministry.
Yeah.
That's right. It was there. But nobody, there wasn't nobody like that. There was nobody that stood and said, "Son, stand still."
Yeah.
And it obeyed him. Nobody like that, see? Because he was God's messenger. He was God's destroying angel. And you know, anytime God sends a message to help people, there's also judgment that follows for those who don't follow it.
Right?
Right? Those who don't receive it. So Joshua was God's messenger, and he was to take the children of Israel into the promised land and divvy that out to them and give to them their blessings. And yet while he was doing this, he's coming through and destroying all these kings, and here's Jericho standing in his way, and Jericho was doomed. There was no way. They were in the crosshairs. They were going out. But it just so happened that God had somebody in there that he didn't want to perish with all that. And man would say, "Not a harlot." But God said, "Yes, Rahab the harlot. She's mine."
Yeah.
So regardless of the judgment that's coming upon the age, on Jericho, regardless of the fact that it is finished, but God has surgical precision, just like he did when he brought the plagues upon Egypt on that night for that Passover. That was a judgment that had sufficient strength to get the job done, but it just so happened if it was powerful enough to destroy the wicked, it'll destroy the righteous if the righteous aren't righteous. Follow me? If they don't follow the plan. This judgment of Joshua coming was so powerful, but yet God, with strategic, just surgical precision, went in there with a message and saved just a few people out of that city while the rest of it absolutely crumbled and they all perished. And was cursed be the man that tries to build Jericho after that. Right? That's right. That's how much God despised that thing. And yet in all that wicked generation, I said that on purpose so you understand, he had somebody he was going to save out of there. And the way he was going to save it was a surgical precision to go right in there and get something right there. And they're the only ones that believe it. Rahab, and she got her family to believe it. And they were the only ones, and she got them under that token. And God, with surgical precision, saved that family while the rest of it crumbled. God didn't leave her there to perish. But you know what? She had to obey that token. She had to get that token, get the people under. That was her only hope. What was the token? It was from messengers telling her, "You do this, and you'll be fine." So Moses, what was he? A messenger. Get that blood over the doorpost. You'll be fine. When Jesus come along and he told his disciples, told the Christians, when you see these armies begin to compass about Jerusalem, and you know they were overrun with Romans all the time anyway. But when you see that, you flee. Don't you come back in. You pray that it's not on Sabbath where the gates are shut. You pray that your women aren't pregnant because they can't run fast. Because this judgment is coming upon this people, this Jerusalem. It's coming, and when it comes, it's going to be so decisive that even your women who are pregnant will not be able to flee fast enough. So you pray that you're not pregnant. You pray that it's not in the wintertime where there's snow on the ground that's going to hinder you from fleeing. When you see this coming, I know this is your home. I know this is your system. I know this is your brotherhood that you've been so, you know, in your world, all the things that you love. I know this is your home, and you don't know anything else. I know that, but when you see these signs happening, you get away from that. Is God asking us too much? Is he asking us too much to follow the word and say no to the world?
No.
It's what he told them. You flee your home. I know you got. I know it was your inheritance. I know all these things, but you flee that and you do it quickly. And you know what? History says that not one Christian was caught inside the walls of Jerusalem when they closed it in. There, what happened? They listened to the message and they obeyed it. Amen. And it's no different today. God has come in our day and he's brought us truth vindicated. Showing that the rest of them don't have the character, because you can look at it. You know they don't have it. Right? This is not about us. I'm talking about him. Jesus Christ manifested before us in this day. I'm talking about him vindicated before us. Truth. And that's what we've got to go after. That's what we want to stick to. And so, that's his counsel. His counsel is saying to you, come out of this, come out of the harlot, come out of the whore and the harlot church, come out of Laodicean lukewarm condition. Come out of those things. That's his counsel. Get his righteousness. Buy the gold that's tried by fire. Buy this, get in touch with this thing that has been vindicated before us and latch on to that. And that's what he's saying to us, just like he did any other day. This is no different than when he said, you flee when you see that. And as we see these things coming, we should just get that much closer. You know that after this pride goes, you know what happens on this earth. You know it's going to be a terrible time for foolish virgins and for 144,000. You know that they're going to hunt down like dogs. And God is trying to make it clear to us that we're almost there. That it is body change time approaching, because, you know, Brother Branham tells us we go in cycles and one fades in, another fades out. And when you, all you have to do is just watch the news.
That's right.
And watch the what you and I would consider wicked political leaders. And when they've gotten power, look what they're doing with it. Breaking every law, taking away every right, and getting by with it. Preparing to take guns, preparing to do all this, and they're getting by with it. God's telling you. He put a man up there to cause this condition to happen so you can see what they're fixing to do. And when that swings back that direction, brother, sister, you don't want to be in that. That's what God's trying to tell us. We're that close. Because that's the phase that's coming to after bride's gone. They're going to work their agenda. And they're trying to show you right now they're going to do it. Right? They're going to do it. And let me remind you, and I'll say this looking in the camera too. God spoke to Brother Branham and said, after 1956, he said they'll either receive it, America will ever receive the gospel this year, or if they don't this year, it's over with. And after that, after 1956, he said, you can put an Abraham Lincoln and a George Washington in every county, and it won't bring America back. So Donald Trump's not going to bring America back.
Right.
Not to what God says it could be. Right? Not to what he considers righteous. This church world's not coming back. Because he said, I gave her space to repent. She repented not, and she's got daughters just like her. They're not going to repent. They're not going to come back to this word. They're going to persecute it. They're going to come after people, see? And we're moving into that phase. And so you could put a Donald Trump in every county in this nation. There's 75 counties in Arkansas. Imagine how many that would be. And he said, you can't bring it back. And you know what? In our own intellectual mind, in our own intellectual thinking, I would think if you could take the character of George Washington, the character of Abraham Lincoln, and you could put those men in every county in this nation, you mean they couldn't bring it back? You and I would think, sure they could. That's pretty powerful. But you see, the declaration's already been made. It don't make no difference how many they put, see? So let's don't get caught up into thinking, oh, happy days are coming. The only happy days we've got is in this word. Amen. To follow, thus saith the Lord. And so, he's come and vindicated his word in this hour. That's how he comes to his bride to take her in a rapture. He does not promise to come in physical form like he was in 2,000 years to take he, but he has come in his word, the coming of his word being vindicated, and to receive him makes you him. Think about it. To receive him in fullness makes you him. For a woman to receive a man in his fullness in marriage, that makes her Mrs. See what I mean? Makes her Mrs. Jesus Christ when you fully receive him. So she is him, right? So to receive him, this vindicated message, that makes, and I'm telling you how to be raptured, okay? That makes you him when you receive him. Amen?
Yeah.
And the rapture, all that is Jesus Christ taking himself from this earth. And if he's in you, he's got to take you with him because you're him. He can't go backwards. That's all you got to do. You want to be raptured? Receive the message of your day and get that in you. Not legalism, but get it in your heart till that's the thing that cries out in your heart day in and day out. That's the eyes that you see through when you look at fallen humanity. That's the thing that you're longing in your heart. Let that be the thing that lives in you, and you don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to body change. You will, because that's Christ in you. Amen. John chapter 13, verse 20. If you'll pull that up. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whosoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. The only one form of eternal life, that's the eternal Spirit of God, came down and lived in Jesus Christ, now come back in the form of the Holy Ghost in us. Right? Same God, who was the beginning of the creation, now here he is. And he said, I'm sending you, and if they receive you, if they receive the message you take, if you're taking my message and they receive you, then they're receiving me. And if they receive me, they receive him that sent me. Right? That's why Jesus said in that day, you'll know that I'm in you and you and me and I and the Father, right? Father and me, right? Not different people, but in that day you'll understand that this Father, this eternal Spirit, is now living in you, who also came as a son, who's also living in you now. So now you've got sonship of your own like Christ was. So the Father said, I'm sending you, you're my son. You go take me to the world, and now Jesus Christ come back to that same Spirit he was, and now he has come into us and said, now I, as the Father, am sending the Holy Ghost to you. Now it's coming in you and living in you, and that way you're going to know that I'm in you, and we're all together in one. See, it's all acting out these offices, and he's made you sons and daughters of God by him living in you. And so if he's in you, when it comes time for him to go, he takes... So... If you receive this message that God sends, and it's his message, then you get the whole package. No question. Last scripture. John 17:3. I pondered on this the week before last, and Brother Daniel mentioned this scripture last week. I pondered on it for a long time. Yeah. We want this. We want eternal life. And he said, this is eternal life, that they may know thee. Jesus praying. He's a man praying to that spirit that was in him. Right? He said, this is life eternal, that they, his disciples, and you and I, see, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Right? Whom thou hast sent. That is eternal life. That through Jesus Christ, you know God.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? And if you've come into that connection, there's no way Satan can keep you here when it comes time for a body change.
That's right.
Amen? No question about it. As Brother Brandon made it so simple, he said, that same voice that said, Lazarus, come forth, is the same voice that said, stop sinning and turn around and serve me. And he said, that's the same voice. It's the voice of the resurrection. Same voice that's going to say, come up hither. So we don't have to worry about it. Amen? So may the Lord richly bless you as we endeavor to stay true to his word and stay true with the things that he's given us. Amen?
Amen.
You love him?
Amen.
You believe his truth?
Yes.
Believe that through that truth he can set you free of all things that hinder you? I do. Amen. Everything in him, the scripture said, everything in him is yea and amen.
That's right.
That's right. Otherwise, we'd say that he's defeated somehow. Everything in him is yea and amen. And we want him in us so that everything in us is yea and amen. Do you know he said the Holy Spirit's always positive? Did you know he also had to say, forgive me, by God's help, I'll never be negative again? Because we all have a tendency, we can be negative. But I catch myself, God help me be positive. When somebody does me something wrong and they know, God help me not to lash out. Help me not to respond, you see, help me to be Jesus Christ. Let's let the musicians come. Amen. We're going to bow our hearts. We worship just for a few minutes and pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, as we come to the end of the service now, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to speak to your people. Lord, as you know, the struggle that goes into a man's life as you're trying to depart into him something for your people and how Satan fights it and what that struggle is. But God, we know that you are a mighty conqueror. You're wonderful in battle and you've never lost. And God, it's so wonderful that you put gifts in your church. And Lord, even then when we in our own selves have our own lacking and weaknesses and wonder, Lord, where would I have it that we have confidence in a gift that you've given us, that your truth will speak through that gift to your people and help them. And so, Lord, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to be in your house and to be able to look upon these things in your word. We're asking, Lord, that you'd bless every heart. Lord, if there's those here that need a reconsecration, we're asking God that they would just make that decision right now in their heart to know that no matter how much you've vindicated these things, we have to make a choice to believe and follow after those things and say no to the things that hinder. And I'm asking God that you would do that. You'd help us, each one, to grow in strength in that way, Lord, to believe and follow these things that you've given us. I ask for your blessings on each one now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's just worship for a little bit if you want to stand as we get ready to close service.